Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Well, hello to our light family, and thank you for joining us again. We're getting to know each other very well through your different emails that you send us, and we're so happy that you join us for these shows. And we have with us today Ruchir, and Ruchir, we started some wonderful questions last week on the show. Could you share with us the ones that we didn't finish, and we'll dive right in and try and fit as much in as we can today.
All right, will do. I do think it seems to be one sort of big interrelated web of information and questions. So last week, for example, I wanted to actually ask this question, but in the first, you know, immediately got sidetracked into this topic about the environment as a mirror or something else. What I wanted to ask then refers to the following. Recently, you said to me that, and you referring here to the way in which some movies or many movies actually usually at least have one sort of clue or metaphysical insight to be reaped from them. And what struck me is that you said to me that the Matrix trilogies and the Bourne, Jason Bourne trilogies also held metaphysical clues for you, but that they're basically too nightmarish for you to go sit through. You know, that's not really worth your while to have to look at that as well. So that kind of stuck with me, especially because I did, you know, many people, it seems kind of self-evident. Yeah, of course, The Matrix holds many clues, but what might not be so self-evident is about the Jason Bourne movies. And I think it's important because lately, as I've told you a few days ago, you know, I had the main theme song from that movie, Bourne Identity, and it just seems like we know there's this relevancy there, but yet somehow it's a bit weird just not getting it. Just keeps going on in my head, you know, and I just really curious to find what the cosmically, metaphysically, the meaning is of this idea that's presented in that movie. So what do you think?
I actually asked the infinite being last night why it is that there are times when there is no memory about certain things by the infinite, as though it too is slowly waking up. And it is not a very good word, so let's go back to mother. Why the mother seems to forget things. Is there also a gradual waking up, and why is that? And the waking up is out of a dream, and it is possibly similar. As I said, you know, I've not watched the Matrix movies. I made an attempt and had to walk out of the first one because of violence, and then the Bourne Identity one I actually also tried to watch and couldn't, and dropped it very early on in the first movie. So I have not seen any of them beyond that. But the gist of it is the same thing. It's that there are memory implants that have been given in a way that makes life seem a certain way. And why is it that it can't just be immediately lifted? That's the point. And that was my question last night. If we're awake now, can't we just be fully awake? And the infinite explained to me that it's like a child. A little child comes into the world. And if they, with their total innocence, came into the full blaring world, like let's say they're born today and by tomorrow they have to go to their job in Manhattan or wherever, it's too much. It is a slowly awakening into a larger reality or a more active reality in which there's greater responsibility and so forth. If the mother removed all of her memory blocks immediately, in other words, we are out of the dream, but if we are wide awake, jumping out of bed and off and raring to go, there would be insanity amongst humanity particularly. They cannot handle that much at once, because with the more you see, also the more responsibility it comes. Responsibility would mean, for instance, that there is a no gap between cause and effect. You say, you know, let's just say somebody uses "darn you" as an expletive statement. If that intent to damn or to whatever is there, it could immediately happen. You know, if somebody says this is just something to die for, all these ways in which languages are used, they could fall down dead. So there is a massive responsibility that goes with immediate awakening. And just like a child who wants to be a grown-up all the time, it is true that we want to be there in the full light of everything right away, but are we fully prepared that every word we say could happen immediately? That's a very large responsibility. And also, you know, are we made in a way that we can handle seeing that the infinite is, in fact, on Earth, seeing the holy cities immediately? It is very disorienting. A lot of beings on the planet that we think are still there are not really there, and so it would create very massive changes. To do that, the mother has to keep a certain amount of forgetfulness. If she doesn't, she will wake up right away, and so will her children have to. So do we understand, you know, that there's a benefit to this? That's one suggestion as to why that might be playing in your head, I suppose.
But you mean that there's a kind of time release capsule kind of idea about it, about
yes.
This waking up?
Yes.
And I guess the insanity would occur because humans are inherently very myopic in their vision?
I don't know if that's the only reason, because of the fact that we have a situation where it's not so much myopic vision. They've never had any other vision. Let's not forget that all creations were made in the dream. They weren't made outside the dream, and then they went into the dream, and now they have to come back out again. They've never experienced this. It's like somebody that cannot hear, and you do ear surgery on them, and suddenly they hear everything. People find, with even so much as a hearing aid, that there's not discriminative listening. In other words, you will hear the clock ticking in the kitchen as loudly as your wife sitting talking to you, as loudly as the television. You can't sort of focus on which sound you want to have dominance. It's that they are not prepared to see the magnificence of real life, because they've never seen it before, like the deaf man that has never heard.
Yeah, that's interesting that you would say that, because what this reminds me of, it's been years since I thought of this, but I remember this kind of acquaintance or friend I met once years ago, and he has, I believe, Tourette's syndrome. And we usually have this association of, you know, people who just sort of yell profanities all the time out of control. But he said that primarily what it was is that he, that sensory data, that there was no sort of natural hierarchy in terms of, he said, if I'm having a conversation with you, you'll experience as our conversation being kind of on the foreground of your experience, and then in the background you hear some chatter of some other people, and there's the wall, and there's this. But he says, for me, there is no differentiation. It's all like this has equal prominence, and that can be really disorienting, he said, to have that constantly. So it's kind of interesting, don't you think, when
yes,
I think about that?
Very good analogy. I agree with you.
So now there's two places to take this so far that I can see. But first of all, I've been thinking, and I've said this before, that, you know, you've said now that cosmically we are out of the dream. And now I'm not really sure how to gauge what that even means. But I do often feel when I, you know, when I listen to that idea, that I think, well, to what extent is it always going to be analogous to watching a TV show wherein the people of the program dream that they're, or experience that they're going out of the TV. Now you can have a show about that that's as advanced as is, and as intelligent and as possible, but ultimately it's still going to transpire within some sort of television. You know, and I wonder if life other than the infinite is experiencing itself, if that's not always going to be in some kind of dream state. I mean, can you explain why this would not be the case?
Well, I'm just trying to get really clear with your question, but we're not inside a boundary. If you consider, let's just consider that you're daydreaming, and this is not a daydream, because there are three areas of fantasy or daydream that is in the awake state, and four, REM state sleep, as scientists call it, REM, standing for rapid eye movement, in the sleep. So there's seven states of dreaming, three of them being in an awake state. It's none of those, but let's just pretend for the moment that it's a dream, that it's a sort of a daydream. If you're daydreaming, you're in the daydream, you're experiencing that which is happening in the dream. It's within you. There's no limits to it, but it is still within you. That is if you can imagine that as a real part within you, perhaps a better analogy would be your inner child. Now, our sub-personalities recently merged into, again, one androgynous field. So there is, at this point, no longer a separate inner child, but its components are in that field. The inner child says, I want to play. I don't want to work anymore. And, you know, and that's it. You know, hang whitewash, like Mole and Rat says in Wind in the Willows, that very beautiful book. So they're just not going to do their whitewash, because their inner child says, let's play. That's a very real conversation you're having with that child inside you. It's in that way that that creation is interacting with the infinite, like sub-personalities that's merged into one. And those sub-personalities are very real. That child is not a separate piece of the infinite or yourself. It's a piece of you. It's just a unique perspective. That's how currently it is. There isn't a screen.
All right. Yeah, I apologize for it. I was the reason why the phrasing of the question was kind of long is because I had to sort of wrap my head around the thought. I mean, what I really meant to say is, would awakening from the dream not always be just another dream? That was really my question. I think you have answered that, but still I wonder if...
There's no way to tell if there are degrees of awakening when the mother does not fully wish to remember her vastness yet. Because that does imply that although we are awake, we're taking our time to get out of bed. So I would imagine that there are still stages of awakening, judging by the fact that the infinite mother still has little blinders on the side in order to keep her vision narrower until we're able to deal with it. So So I would imagine there's more awakening coming, but that there is another screen, no. The screens have been done away with. They are part of linear mind.
And you said that there is no inner child either anymore. I mean, I know that the personalities were sort of, they ended basically. But then there was still something which seemed to sort of be like the inner child. But are we now sort of still acting as if these phenomena are the case, or?
We often have to act as though that the phenomena is the case, because that's why we experienced it in the first place. It's not an accident that we went through the separating of threads, even the fibers of the threads, and we've explained this before as part of the purpose of duality. Once things are merged into an androgynous field, it's hard to understand their components. Let's take male and femaleness. The Infinite has decreed, and there's fascinating parts about this on my blog that I've documented, but the Infinite has decreed that there really isn't a gender anymore. There's sexuality, but it is androgynous. We would not understand the androgynous beings, components of such a unified field, unless we have been through the fact of knowing femaleness to be receptive, maleness to be proactive. We've got 12 androgynous planets around the Earth right now that we discussed on last week's show. But they have feminine components that are receptive, masculine components that are proactive, without them acting separately. They act as one, but it's a matter of dominance. And that is why we sometimes speak of things the way they were, so that the valuable lessons that we've learned through the creation of individuated life does not go wasted. We have to take a commercial break, and then we'll take this topic further if you wish.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
And so, Rahir, where did you want to take this conversation? Shall we change topics? Is there more you wanted to know about that?
Well, if we're talking about the sub-personalities and we're saying, well, we're still kind of acting as if due to the insights that were gained, I just wonder, though, what that means, because if we say that the sub-personalities were born of the directions, and yet the directions were that which sustained illusion. I mean, what does it mean to say that we still kind of act as if they're around?
Well, previously, let's take a look at what was and what is, so we can understand this difference. What is has always been. Otherwise, it wouldn't still be there, because that which represents what the Infinite is not has been eliminated and eliminated and eliminated. However, when all components act at once. Now, to explain that, previously, let's say Joe has a business meeting. So he goes to his business meeting. His child says, I don't want to. You've been working late every night. You said you'd play with me. This is now the inner child. And he says, no, you've got to get back in the box till after my business meeting. There's tough opponents in this meeting. I've got to be tough. Okay, so he gets his warrior out. The child goes back in the box. He goes through his meeting with the warrior in full-fledged operation, but the child cannot play during the business meeting. After the business meeting, if he's a balanced man, he would go home, kick off his shoes, and watch Charlie Chaplin or Laurel and Hardy or something that's Three Stooges, you know, something that makes him laugh, and his kid is sitting there happily laughing while he's drinking his beer and eating his hot dog or whatever he would do. Now, it's joined together into one merging. Joe goes to his business meeting. In the business meeting, he would be charming because his child just doesn't take the business meeting that seriously. His warrior, on the other hand, is immediately alert all the way through the business meeting. But the child plays. You know, he might even bring his favorite little snack bar and says, you know what, I like to chew on the snack bar while somebody else is talking, so if you see me chewing back and forth in between, don't pay any attention. It's just something I do when I'm in business meetings. But the child is eating granola bar, or, you know, the warrior is very alert. The nurturer, on the other hand, makes sure that he's comfortable. He kicks his shoes off under the desk or the conference table. Because his shoes slightly, you know, hot and sticky and pinching, he kicks them off and he sits there. He's totally relaxed. He's massaging one foot on the other because his nurturer says, take care of yourself. Hey, wait a minute. You haven't had enough water. He interrupts the meeting to say, can I please have some water? Meantime, he's charming. He looks relaxed because the child is playing through this meeting, because the child thinks, oh gosh, look at me, I'm grown up, I'm sitting at the conference table. But the warrior is very alert. All the sub-personalities are functioning at once. The whole concept of it is that there's a shrewd but charming, clearly at ease businessman in this meeting. Whereas previously he would have had this edge to it because the other parts aren't there to soften him. This is the differences in which they express as a unified field all at once, and the other one where they were separated out.
All right, and this actually reminds me, because traditionally you've always spoken of the known and the unknown and the unknowable, but I take it that this is now also a set of definitions that's obsolete?
It is and it isn't, because of the following. That's absolutely true. When we were in the dream, things lay out of the dream that the infinite was not accessing, because very much the feminine part was dominant then. The mother was dreaming. And when you're in a dream state, you may not be aware that the cat has entered your room where you're lying there sleeping. So there was an unknowable for the infinite. The infinite is slowly removing the forgetfulness, because what it is the breaking down of that television screen that was the dream. It's breaking down of all boundaries. So is all available right now? Yes, all that can be known is available. That removes the unknowable. However, the infinite is deliberately keeping it somewhat limited, so that light just doesn't flood us, because accessed information is in the form of highly refined light. And so it's like a blind man that hasn't ever seen much, and or has lived in darkness all of his life, and suddenly he comes out in the bright, bright sunlight. Again, it's a little too much for infinite's creation to bear. So it's deliberately that there are things that are not yet known. But can all be known now that we're out of the dream? The answer is yes. So that would leave only really the known and the unknown, in that we can know it, but we just haven't accessed it yet.
Right, so, and previously, and it's really for the prevention, this is what you're referring to as the, you know, the risk or the danger of insanity, if there was this immediate flooding of light or
yes,
of awakening.
Well, can I jump in with a comment that I forgot to make? You know, in my own classes, Mother has actually, for the last, I would say, 6 classes that I've held, what we've worked with has been so profound. We've been able to photograph all these beings. We've been able to, you know, people are awakening to incredible spiritual gifts, but beyond that is what we've dealt with and seen. It has been so huge that I have seen evidence that there is an imbalance happening in my students. And when that happens, Mother always sends the angels of the throne. She's got 100,000 angels of the throne, and then she has 10,000 angels that do her bidding. She has sent some of the angels of the throne, and on one or two occasions, she had to send more than 10,000 angels to keep the stability of those that are brand new and those that are masters that come into the class, because of how massive the light is. But I've seen it with my eyes. And just through the years, I've seen people that if they don't leave after 5 days of class, they go into kind of an insanity.
And the reason for this would be this something.
On a very small scale.
So, but it resembles this flooding.
Yes. Exactly.
All right, it's interesting. It also makes me wonder, you know, earlier you spoke of this responsibility for speech. And I believe this was really related to the same topic. But it made me think that this, of course, also applies to ideas and ideas that we take in, for example. And I think, you know, this may be a bit of a delicate topic, but I did want to look at that. Like, you know, do we hold the responsibility for the ideas that we consume, and are we prepared to take that? And what follows when we don't do this?
What ideas are you referring to? I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, we had a conversation the other day, which it's probably not appropriate to spell out here, but it was basically sort of the effects it can have when we feed on information that is just not life-enhancing. And in this case, it was concerning the whole sort of, you know, diving into the whole sort of conspiracy watch culture.
That's correct, yes. And your question on that was?
Well, I wondered if you could explain really this connection between ideas and breath and mind and just you know, really how,
yes,
what it can do.
I
and also
what you're saying. Sorry, yes, I understand. Well, what he's referring to is that we have a mutual friend, and the friend is an immortal master, and recently developed cancer, and cancer is at this point a sort of distorted frequency in the nose. And what we're dealing with is this. An immortal master has no need to manifest any symptoms like that. But this particular person has had years and years of my telling them, they're in one of my classes, please, you are creating the present. Please do not entertain these these wildly conspiratory, I don't know what the adjective is, but the conspiracy theories that come by the droves through your email. Please do not entertain it. You are creating the reality. Don't let it be a dictator that tells you how reality is and then believe it and then you perpetuate it. In fact, in one of the classes, Mother came through and spoke in the class to the various masters. And she spoke to him and she said, there is an entire department that was created during the past that does nothing but spread disinformation. Because it keeps the major light workers on Earth from standing up in their power and becoming uncontrollable. And so Mother had said that as long as we believe it, we'll keep such a department in place. If instead of allowing them to tell us how life is and therefore creating it, because they know better than we do if we do that, that we are creating life. So they give us things to hang on to, and then we end up creating it. And we play right into an agenda that is disempowering to our mastery. So what is it that cancer represents? It's lack of presence. And presence is when we're not home for ourselves, in a nutshell. The gift of silencing the mind, which this particular master amongst mastery, by its definition, is one who has the ability to silence the mind or lives in a constant state of silence of the mind. This particular master has that ability. But instead of the original thinking that becomes co-creative with the infinite in shaping the quality of the journey, to allow others to tell us through this disinformation that spreads through the internet how life is, that's lack of presence. And where we take it in, air represents thoughts and information. Light is actually information, air is thoughts. Instead of being present with original thinking, we take in that which is hostile through the nose, hence nose cancer.
Yeah, and judging from the amount of, well, I should probably phrase my words carefully here, but what seems to be what's circulating still on the internet, this department does seem to be, well, kept alive, let's just put it in that way. I mean, I recall you saying something. I can't remember which video it was now on YouTube, but I remember one person commenting, you know, well, you know, I want to believe you, but how do I know you're not part of the, you know, the cycle or the circle of this sort of disinformation and spreading false information. So, I mean, yeah, you get in very many paradoxes if you try to engage in that kind of conversation. So I just didn't. But it's interesting to see how, it's kind of saddening actually to see how strong it is still very much the, ideas like this.
One of the greatest fears in existence for people is the fear of not having boundaries, of being vast. And what they do is take that fear and pin it on something that they can actually put in a box. So that is the way that this forms for the light workers, because they stand on the threshold of understanding that they are all things. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Helmi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So, what else would you like us to look at?
Yeah, it just seems like there is still something to be discussed on this subject of conspiracy culture, because I'm just not sure how to, maybe we should just do a video on it, but it just seems really relevant to deprogram people from it. But the problem is that when you say such things, it's generally just interpreted as another, spin of control and things, oh, you must be working for so-and-so.
Well, here, the reason why they're doing it as well, we've tried to remedy by creating the blog because of the massive changes that are happening cosmically. The sensitive people that are the major light workers of our planet, they can feel in their hearts that something big happens each day. They can truly feel it. They can feel that great things are lying below the surface of their perception. And because they don't know what it is, they go to their internet for information. And up until now, that's really been all the information that's been coming. And so there's this is what I was feeling, or, oh, wait a minute, this is coming. That sort of thing. That is one of the reasons why we created the blog, because the blog gives them that day-to-day what has happened in the cosmos information and what is required of the major pivot points of humanity, the light bearers of humanity, that could assist this. Which areas of my life is most conducive to heal upon this day? And so that is why it's there. And hopefully if people get tuned into it, that's a way they can get daily information that is pure and accurate. But they don't have to take my word for it. They will know it, because they'll go, yes, that's why I felt such and such yesterday. We have that all the time. People saying, this blog entry explains so much. I went through the exact same thing. Plus, when we get a lot of emails showing a trend, I take it to the infant. I say, what is it that's happening? We get an explanation, and I put it up there. So that, I think, is going to help as well, because it's been like playing in the dark.
Yeah, and of course, the interesting correlation that generally, well, I've yet to see an exception, but the people who are very sort of into this kind of information usually also have had a very authoritarian parent, usually the father. So I always think that that's important to be aware of this correlation when we watch ourselves.
Of the,
or,
The two areas that make very fearful adults, and as I say, fearful adults need something to pin that nebulous fear onto, is A, a very dictatorial father, but B, when the mother replaces the primary relationship in her life with the son, when it should be the father, or let's say there's an unhappy marriage and it's confided to the son and please save me kind of a thing to the son, or please be my champion, or please be on my side, we end up with an Oedipal complex, as the psychologists call it, and it's where the son feels like he has to stand in masculine shoes that aren't too big for him. And I find often that people in my class that have undergone that, those males lock the pubis bones joint as a way of protecting their root chakra, their masculinity, of being demanded when it's not yet ready. And once again, we're on this theme of not giving somebody demands or responsibilities they're not yet developed enough to take. Very similar theme to the cosmos, because it also creates fearful, insecure adults.
Yes, I think actually coming to think of it, another important sort of interlocking theme here is simply the tightness with which we can hold on to these belief systems of control and what goes on behind the scenes. I mean, it really undermines the reality, well, the fluidity of the reality, really, that is, you know, the way it is, in which it's constantly shifting. And like you said, what can be a conspiracy one day could be a corporation tomorrow.
Yes, and they could well be holding it in place then.
Yeah.
If we think of creation and sub-creation, sub-creation is like a spider web that overlays over a beautiful, let's say, a Degas or Monet painting. You have a beautiful masterpiece painting, and you've got a spider web overlaying it. The spider web is man holding on to things because of belief systems and creating it for himself. And so we can't change creation, but we could form a sub-creation. And that is equally unpleasant, because that's very real in affecting life.
Yeah, and, you know, as a kind of a side note, because I'm sure people, students certainly will find it interesting, I remember I came across, just by accident really, this kind of information about, you know, very sort of shadowy about the upcoming administration and the people behind the scenes and so forth. And it was, what was interesting to me, that I just sort of hinting for you, if you could maybe just take a look at that. And then really what you find is that, you know, the figures, the people that are maybe, or that were perhaps lined up to do their manipulation, that they're power has been, you know, so diffused, but yet that's not something you'll ever hear from the well-known researchers in this field, you know, in the with the conspiracy websites and so forth. And it's like, the point is, it starts with them really conveying information under the guise of power to the people, and at that point it's still correct, but eventually you will not hear it from them if things have changed, and eventually it just acts as more control.
Exactly. It's the changes that happen day by day by day are not going to be broadcast in the media. Journalists at school, at college, they learn that you find bad news even when it isn't there. So we're not given an accurate picture. But there is another thing that we can take into consideration. The vaster the consciousness of anyone on Earth, the more their ability, and what do we mean by vaster the consciousness? The more they realize that they are a consciousness superimposed over all that is, having a human experience, the more they are able change life by changing themselves within. Because the vaster your perspective, the vaster your influence. Who then is indeed behind the government? Who then indeed is behind that which thinks they're controlling the earth? Those with the most consciousness. So my brothers and sisters, we have another break coming up and we will be right back. And thank you to our light family always for joining us.
Almien continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almien is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almien, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almien has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Well, we've now come to our final home stretch here on our show, and we've got about 10 minutes left here. Time for a question or two. What would you like to do?
Well, there's the topic of abductions, because I know that we had some, there used to be some videos on the topic that we had made, but this really concerns alien abductions, which I believe you say have actually ceased now. But lately you have been talking or have mentioned abductions, particularly in relation to immortal masters. I just wonder if you could elaborate a bit on that, because what are we to think of really in this context of what does it mean, these abductions, and are they over?
For sure. The star races that have interfered with Earth life in a nefarious way, in a non-life-enhancing way, yes, it's over, because those races don't exist anymore. We have recently had one or two or three, perhaps in the last 3 months, issues around aliens. There was, I remember, one group that moved to the Earth and wanted to stay here. I think it was actually in Oregon, that they wanted to live here, and the Infinite said, no, you can't, because the human grid is very, very sacrosanct. It cannot be tampered with, and when alien beings come and live on Earth, it messes, and grid is not the point, the human archetype, but it affects humanity, and they get out of step with that which is their destiny and gift, basically. So there was another instance where there was hostilities intended from one group and another group and so on. But it's possibly on my blog. I don't remember what I write each day because it's sometimes two entries a day. However, the actual abduction of people within, no, that's gone. And there's great strictures. The infinite is now present on Earth. There's not likely to be any alien abductions. What happened with the ascended masters that are in my classes is that there was a cosmos that had been dying. Many of the masters and oracles had seen visions of it, like something like a brain with sparks, just little sparks coming out of it, like it was sort of in the last throes of life. And this cosmos, their solution was to get immortal matter into their cosmos to keep it alive. Why did this happen when abductions are over? Because the infinite wanted to be reminded that this particular cosmos actually had to be recreated and joined with us. It was like our feminine component. And at some point, it had died and it was barely alive, and it kept itself alive in this way. So when things happen contrary to that which has already been put in place, it's usually for a purpose of reminding the infinite being, as it's in the process of waking up from its dreams slowly to nurture its creations out of the dream, that there's something that needs to be seen. At the most basic level, why did this happen? Because it was time for the major light workers and the immortal masters on Earth to reclaim certain things that they had lost. And one of those things is self-sovereignty. The belief in self that you are the first cause of your environment, which brings us full circle to what we've been speaking of today. In fact, Rogier, we had that same last week, the same topic on self-empowerment. And last week we dealt with the new astrology that is empowering versus disempowering. So we're back to that theme.
But what was this I'm not entirely clear why this other cosmos, let me just say, was it even possible that it was there, and who was in it?
There were watchers in it. A watcher maintains a matrix, and they had become very hostile because a matrix was the television screen that we've been in during the dream that needed to be dissolved. So they became very, very non-life enhancing. There were watchers in it. They had created their own miscreations, if you will. And so there were dark sorcerers in there. There were demons in there. And there were watchers, I know, because I was sent in there to go and see what was there. And what was in there were some of our immortal masters. Some had entirely been taken, and some were partially taken, meaning like their dream body was taken. And so that is what was in there. And how can this happen? This can only happen because there was something major that had to be gotten, that the infinite needed to remember at a specific time.
And these watchers, just for the record, are really it's actually those, let me just think how to put this. I find it kind of interesting that we can see them in the old alchemists. Lore, or at least in their their imagery, because they are the eyes, right?
That's correct, because see, that's part of how corrupted things became. The old alchemists worked with the matrix, and even though it was the highest information in the very deep stages of the dream, which is the fall, the matrix itself was corrupted. And that's the reason is that it had a sub-creation underneath it. If you look at the matrix as the perfect template that the infinite intended as the ideal at each given stage, because they transfigure, But there was a sub-creation underneath it that the Watchers had created, so that they used the Matrix, but they could also use it for ill, because they could use either the sub-Matrix or they could use the Matrix itself. And if they used the sub-Matrix, they could use alchemy to hurt and harm. Same thing with magic and shamanism and so on. They started to tune into things that were not the original creations. Hence, the corruption. But that, you know, that was what was in there, and that had to be done away.
And were you clear now on why, what it essentially designates, this whole sort of, creature such as a Watcher, what the meaning is of it?
Yes, there was space created, and the space required that the infinite being take within itself a form and stand between two mirrors, and mirrors only occur when you're in identity consciousness. So the masculine part of this infinite being contracted, and it became dense enough that the feminine's light reflected back to itself. But that's what caused the mirror. It stood between two mirrors, and these mirrors formed, just like if you do it, lines of yourself like images backwards and forwards. Those are you, but they're not really you. They're just a reflection. Those were the Watchers. And they kept portions of the mirror space that they held, because from one image of yourself to the next image, as it recedes to the front and to the back, as you do this, it opens space after space after space. That's the role that they played. And the Watchers were used in the old alchemy. And the Watchers, it was only recently understood, was very non-life enhancing. All matrices, all grids, all projectors that caused both the grids and the matrices, which is at the center of the cradle of civilization, which is the Earth, was removed. We unfortunately have run out of time, so we hope that you'll join us again next week. Thank you so very much for your presence with us each week, and my love to you always.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almeen. Please join us again next week.